Right, our final speaker before our Q&A session a little bit later is Patrick Wood, who I think by now is a guy that doesn't need a lot of introduction. But I just want us to appreciate what we have in Patrick, this whole issue of world government, you know, the plan for world government. He's been tracking this for a long, long time. One of his very first books is a book called Trilateralists Over Washington. You ever heard of the Trilateral Commission? Yeah, kind of a one world government, murky organization. A lot of similarities with the World Economic Forum. And about the year 1979, Patrick in Arizona was, you know, just minding his own business in his ministry office, and a real official looking guy walked in. He looked kind of muscular, and Patrick thought, I'm dead. You know, it's either the mob or the IRS or something bad is going to happen. And who actually came, anybody ever heard of Senator Barry Goldwater? Yeah, longtime conservative voice in the United States Senate, longtime critic of the Trilateral Commission. Well, it happened to be, and Patrick can correct some of the details when he comes up, but it happened to be Barry Goldwater's, I think, chief of staff that came into Patrick's office just to compare notes to make sure that they were all on the same page related to the Trilateral Commission, because he had heard so many good things Barry Goldwater had about Patrick's work. And so Patrick has been doing this stuff for a long, long time. He's definitely what we would call a seasoned veteran. And so with that in mind, let's welcome once again Patrick Wood. And anything I mangled, feel free to correct, but I told the story the best I could.
All right.
So
don't sneak up on me again.
I won't do that.
Oh boy. I'll tell you what, following Paul is just a trip. Just a trip. But I'm really lucky that I know you love me and you won't, you know, throw stones at me. Wow, what a great message. We're going to talk about transhumanism this time. This is going to be a very weird trip for you. I'm sure if you were stunned yesterday, what we talked about technocracy, transhumanism probably will send you over the edge. So this is the quest to become immortal, basically. And this is some of this information will be drawn from my book, The Evil Twins of Technocracy and Transhumanism, where I posit basically that they've been joined at the hip at least for 25 years as movements, and they're very much in tune with each other. But let's just figure out what the Bible has to say about it. This is the long and the short of it. But the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die. Genesis 3:4. And then we have the wrap-up verse, Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. This is the sum of my presentation, I guess, in one sense, scripturally. But we have to talk about other crazy people like Noah or Harari. I'm going to show you this short video, just set the tone where we're going, and you get the idea, I'm sure.
Biological knowledge multiplied by computing power multiplied by data equals the ability to hack humans. If you know enough biology and you have enough computing power and data, you can hack my body and my brain and my life, and you can understand me better than I understand myself. You can know my personality type, my political views, my sexual preferences, my mental weaknesses, my deepest fears and hopes. You know more about me than I know about myself. And you can do that not just to me, but to everyone. A system that understands us better than we understand ourselves, can predict our feelings and decisions, can manipulate our feelings and decisions, and can ultimately make decisions for us. Now, in the past, many tyrants and governments wanted to do it, but nobody understood biology well enough, and nobody had enough computing power and data to hack millions of people. Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon, at least some corporations and governments will be able to systematically hack all the people. We humans should get used to the idea that we are no longer mysterious souls. We are now hackable animals. That's what we are. The power to hack human beings can, of course, be used for good purposes, like providing much better healthcare. But if this power falls into the hands of a 21st century Stalin, the result will be the worst totalitarian regime in human history, and we already have a number of applicants for the job of 21st century Stalin.
You really think that? Oh boy, do you get the picture? Are you hackable? Well, maybe. You know, he says, he's expressing his views. Maybe they're not just for him, but it seems like the data quest is on to collect all the data from us to make us hackable as well. Some people that we know, and I didn't take this COVID shot personally. I know a lot of people did, but this was basically, as it turns out, was an experiment to change the genetic nature of humanity itself. This is an expression of transhumanism. So what he's talking about here, well, it has computers in it. It has biology as well. And so what is transhumanism? It's the science of improving the human population through technologies like genetic engineering and artificial intelligence. That's, I don't know where that came to, probably out of Encyclopedia. But this whole business of genetic engineering, well, they're talking about rewriting data, your DNA rather, and designing humans. They talk about cognitive enhancement. Think Elon Musk with his brain chip, merging brain with machine. They talk about radical life extension, conquering death, living forever. Those poor souls, they don't know that they can get free life and it's free, you know, from Jesus Christ. But they struggle to get it on their own, and it'll never end well with them. So this mechanistic premise, we see this going all the way back to the technocracy study course in 1934. That's where I'm going to pick this thread up, where they said in that document, man must admit blood kinship with other members of the animal kingdom. Well, we know that's not true, but this is what they posited back then. Humans are mere biological machines, no soul, no conscience, no divine image. We know, of course, the scripture is very clear that we're created in the image of God. So we can see that there's a fault line here. Everything else flows from which premise you accept. And I'm sure everybody in this room gets the picture. You should all be on the right side, not on that left side. So, what from technocracy to transhumanism now? As I said in my book, it's joined at the hip, like Siamese twins. Technocracy proposed to manage society through science and engineering. Eugenics was this also enters into the picture, that breed better humans through selective mating. Now, this has kind of changed in recent days because of genetic engineering, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Transhumanism, then, upgrades humans through technology and genetic engineering. So we can say it this way. Transhumanism is technocracy's eschatology. I like that comparison. It's the vision of the end goal. We have an eschatology as well, right? We understand that Christ is coming, etc. And so they have their eschatology as well. So you'd be surprised to find the thread of technocracy has a generational bloodline, if you will, with Elon Musk. Believe it or not, Elon Musk's grandfather, Joshua Haldeman, was the head of Technocracy Incorporated in Canada for several years. He was a research director up there from 1936 to 1941. He was arrested by the RC, that's the mounted police up there, on October 20, 1940. Didn't like that very much, for sure, but the organization was banned as subversive. They thought they looked like the SS, and they said, well, you're done. But now we see Elon Musk, 90 years later, talking about Neuralink, brain-computer interfaces, DOGE, restructuring government. He wants to build a Martian technocracy. He talks about digital immortality via mind upload. That'll never happen, for sure. So we can say that the bloodline is unbroken, but the vision is unchanged. Crazy stuff. So now I'm going to talk about to some of the players in Washington, D.C., because I kind of touch on the arch technocrats, I call them, who have invaded Washington, D.C. This is the purpose of our new book with Courtney Turner called The Final Betrayal. If you don't have it already, get it in audiobook or whatever, and listen to it. But we have a chapter that lists most of the players, the big ones, that are the arch technocrats, I call them, in Washington. They're throwing their weight around, so to speak. People like Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, Sam Altman from OpenAI, Larry Ellison, you probably saw him on stage. He's the guy who was promoting Stargate right after Trump was inaugurated. Mark Zuckerberg, Meta, David Sachs, you might not recognize his name. He's the AI crypto czar right now. Michael Kratsias, the OSTP director, Nick Land, Bo Hines, he's on the crypto council, J.D. Vance, vice president, of course, Jeff Bezos at Amazon. All these people are transhumanists. In other words, they're subscribing to one form or another of this philosophy that somehow they're going to live forever. These are the people that are running our country, by the way. So they're imposing this policy on all of us. Nobody really has a clue in the public what's going on. Ask anybody on the street, do you want to be transhuman? Nobody's going to take the bait. So it's crazy, but we listed probably 50 or so of these major players. Just to give people an idea of who we're talking about in particular. So let's talk about Peter Thiel, and for instance, most of you probably know who he is at this point. He's the founder of Palantir, and he's a bigwig for sure because he's kind of the guy that's been orchestrating all the surveillance technology around the world and in our country as well. He's he's gotten contracts out of our government. Oh my, several billion dollars just in the last two or three years. So here's Peter Thiel, the immortality investor, we're calling him here now at this point. He's invested over $7 million just recently in life extension companies that promote curing death. He thinks it's a disease, basically. So hundreds of millions of dollars have flowed into several companies via his founder's fund, this venture capital company. He supported the SENS, S-E-N-S, Research Foundation, Unity Biotechnology, Halcyon Molecular. These are companies involved in life extension. He co-founded a company called New Limit that specializes in epigenetic reprogramming. How do you like that stuff? Wow. He takes human growth hormone pills as well. And he plans to freeze his brain, at least, when he dies. There's a company in Scottsdale, Arizona that does that for people. When you die, your loved one calls them up. They send out a team. They cut your head off, and they freeze it in liquid nitrogen and take you back to the lab. And you hope the power doesn't go off at that point, and your head thaws. So Peter Thiel was the guy that founded the so-called PayPal Mafia. That was a group of entrepreneurs in like the early 2000s that formed PayPal in the first place. And so he's, as it turns out, he's on Trump's inner tech circle at this point, big time supporter. Then you have Elon Musk. Digital immortality is his moniker. He's invested at least $100 million in personal investment in Neuralink. And by the way, this has worked out very well with him, because that $100 million has grown to like $9 billion in valuation. That's not bad. So he promotes brain-computer interfaces implanted in humans. The goal is, his overall goal is digital immortality via consciousness upload. That's crazy, but he wants to take the consciousness you have, upload it to the computer so you can live on in silica. And if you want to travel the space, space in a nose of a rocket ship or something, you can do that as silica. Crazy, but nevertheless, this is what these people believe. He pursues digital transhumanism instead of biological life extension, but nevertheless, this is the same stuff. So he made this comment, by the way, a couple years ago. He wants to go to Mars. He says he wants to colonize Mars, and he wants to have a million people on Mars to colonize it, and probably be built right by robots at this point. But he said, I want to die on Mars, just not on impact. Okay. Whatever. So now we kind of have the billionaire life extension club. We have people like Aunt Sam Altman. He's the CEO of OpenAI. Probably you've seen him on the news somewhere along the way. Well, he's just invested $180 million. That's practically nothing to him, I guess. But he supports a number of companies, and he's valued his investments now are valued at $5 billion. That's been a big hit for him, for sure. Larry Ellison, the founder of Oracle, he's a major, major transhumanist. He supports the Ellison Medical Foundation. 80% of that, which is dedicated to aging research. He was the guy, by the way, that stood on stage with President Trump when Stargate was announced just after the inauguration, and he was one of the people that talked about how cancer is going to be cured with a shot that will be predicted. You'll need to certainly shot engineer just for you, somehow they're going to mystically analyze your DNA to figure out what kind of shot you need. I wouldn't do it if I were you, and especially not on his say-so. Then we have Jeff Bezos. Of course, that's the Amazon founder. He's being a big investor in life extension companies, over $3 billion at this point. He's into Unity Biotech as well. I mean, he's just made a bunch of investments. Probably most of them are paying off at this point. So the money, we follow the money in this whole thing. This is an amazing story. this is kind of a summary of the top few people here. The ultra wealthy in life extension in the last 25 years. Well, when we talk all about these people in Washington, D.C. right now, that like all these arch technocrats, they're all billionaires. People like, Larry Ellison is not the government, but David Sachs is a billionaire. Elon Musk is a billionaire. Peter Thiel is involved with the government. He's a billionaire. They're all over the place. It's commonplace, like almost, you know, like dirt, to see billionaires roaming around, throwing their weight around in Washington, D.C. So this is kind of a summary of them. It's Larry Ellison is the top here. They're not in order, but he's invested at least $430 million. Altman, 180. You see Musk has 100, but has really gone high on his valuation. Peter Thiel, Jeff Bezos, they're in a race, if you will, to see who can put the most money in. But this is all to say, this is not just chicken feed. It's just not a hobby. This is proceeding in earnest. You have to figure, well, if somebody put $3 billion into life extension companies, how many scientists can you hire for that kind of money? A lot. And we're talking genetic sciences mostly. So now we're going to switch gears a little bit to Jeffrey Epstein. And if Jeffrey Epstein were today, if he was alive today, he would be in the halls of power right now in Washington, D.C., for sure, because he was there when all of these things started in the first place. So we have to take a trip back through the time machine to figure out what was his role in this in the first place. Well, number one, he was a transhumanist. He had all kinds of investments, and he stimulated stuff back in 2005 to 2010, at least. He stimulated stuff like meetings, scientific discovery panels, stuff like that. And he's also an arch technocrat at the same time. So transhumanist on one hand, arch technocrat on the other hand. And just incidentally, he was a member of the Trilateral Commission as well. Figure that one out on your own. Unfortunately for him, ironically, he was a major transhumanist. By the way, his head had a reserve place in one of these cryo centers, and he died in prison. Well, they said that's what they said. Whatever, I'm not going to argue that. But he died in prison, so they couldn't get his head away from him to freeze it. So he's lost completely to that scheme. Oh boy. So he died before he achieved immortality. I could have predicted that before. You know, we all could have, right? So here's Epstein's transhumanist vision. He funded, for instance, Humanity Plus. This is a major publication today on transhumanism, and you'll find it on the internet, like I think it's H Plus at this point. But he also founded the World Transhumanist Association. That's also the state of the art journal and policy papers and stuff. So it was instrumental in getting these foundational things started back then. He hosted science dinners at Harvard and MIT with geneticists to talk about, genetic engineering, especially DNA editing, and perfecting the human genome. He was convinced that companies, that the human genome was corrupted and it needed to be corrected. He had the vision for that, apparently. So we see the entrance now of eugenics, cryonics, and designer babies. In New Mexico, that's where his ranch was, and that's what they say is, and I didn't see it with my own eyes, but nevertheless, he has a ranch in New Mexico. And it was interesting. We know this now. He was impregnating 20 women at a time with superior DNA. He thought his DNA was superior. Just saying. This guy was possessed with this notion that somehow he was going to be the one to supply the good DNA to these other people. I don't want to go there anymore. It's crazy. But then he wanted to plan, as I said, he planned to freeze his body and his head for future resurrection. That won't happen for now. Then he talked about, and we know this examining all of these emails that just came out from the Epstein files, he had 2018 emails on funding genetically modified embryos for desirable traits. Does this sound like eugenics to you a little bit? Yeah, it's kind of weird, huh? So this is the unmasking, if you will, of his program. This came from the DOJ Epstein files that were just released in February 2026. So here we are. He emailed scientists about making black people smarter through genetic modification. Does that sound like eugenics as well? How about he was obsessed with blue eyes as a sign of intelligence, fixating on Aryan characteristics? Does that sound a little bit like what Hitler thought in the 30s? He funded Harvard's Personal Genome Project to find if beauty resides in DNA. He was obsessed with beauty. You can see this in probably the girls he picked, as well as whenever he looked at himself in the mirror and he saw himself, oh, that's beautiful, man. I don't know what he was thinking at the end in jail, looking at that piece of stainless steel on the wall that doubled as a mirror. I don't know. But he probably lowered his expectations. One of his associates, this is crazy too, suggested, quote, mass executions for the elderly and infirm makes sense. Crazy. He discussed funding the first live birth and possibly a human clone within 5 years. Maybe that's why the Lord took him out in the first place, so he couldn't do that. I don't know. But this is transhumanism without the PR, basically. This is, you see genetic eugenics all over it. So Epstein funded, we have to switch gears just for a bit. Epstein also funded Cryptocurrency Foundation, Crypto's Foundation, all of it. He invested at least $3.5 million at that point, 2010, just before, into cryptocurrency's formative infrastructure. And by that I mean he invested in Coinbase. That was one of the first companies that if he had that investment right now, he's dead, right? So he doesn't have it. But nevertheless, it's worth right now about $47 billion. That was a pretty hefty investment for sure. He also invested in Blockstream. This is the Bitcoin infrastructure. the founder was invited to visit Epstein's island in whatever Caribbean, and he was instrumental in the Bitcoin world. He also gave gifts very liberally to core developers of Bitcoin in the first place, who made it all happen back in that day. So he was formative all the way across the crypto world, if you will, at that point. You'll see how this plays in. So we'll talk just for a bit about Epstein's network, as it were, today's players. And you'll see how this dovetails into all the players that I listed in our book, who are the arch technocrats in Washington taking over everything right now. Peter Thiel, Palantir's mastermind. He was Epstein Files and another organization that was created called the Edge Circle, a discussion group among scientists, etc. David Sachs was one of the original PayPal mafia people. He's now Trump's AI and crypto czar. Steve Bannon's on the list. He discussed crypto regulation with Epstein directly. Howard Lutnick, our Secretary of Commerce currently, he was the founder and the head of CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald, a custodian of Tether. Tether's the major cryptocurrency right now that's going, hopefully, they say is going to fund all of the crypto payment system in the future that Trump has set up at last year. Reid Hoffman, another guy. Epstein asked him about Coinbase investment directly. Reid Hoffman was one of the first investors in Facebook back in the day. Brock Pierce was the Tether co-founder. So you see all these people. It's the same. His orbit was all these people back then. So the same, in other words, the same network, the same vision, now they're in power. What does that mean for us as citizens of the country? Well, it's pretty disturbing, because these people, to a man, either they're arch technocrats or they're transhumans, and I don't think anybody wants these kind of people running our country, dictating policy to anybody. So, wow. So you have kind of an unholy trinity, if you will, between eugenics, transhumanism. Now we're going to talk about tokenization. This wraps in now that what we know about Harari said, what Harari said in the first place. All this data is going to be collected on you for a purpose, and an intense purpose. So we see eugenics. The idea there is to breed better humans. We know that Epstein's ranch promoted kind of like Nazi roots, if you will, race science. Transhumanism then comes in. Figure, well, we're gonna upgrade humans with technology, life extension, gene editing, brain computer interface, etc. And now we focused on tokenization in particular. This is the crypto world now. We're going to focus on financializing the human body itself. This is really disturbing. The body as an asset class, DNA as a data screen, behavior as commodity. You rewind 15 times on the tape, and you'll get it eventually. Nevertheless, same premise. Humans are machines, same goal, total control. So we have this new concept now called tokenization of bodies. This really gets strange. if you want to run out right now, it'd be a good time. But this is really crazy stuff. But I'm not making it up. These people are writing this stuff, and I just marvel at how stupid they are, but you know, and how imaginative they are. But now we're talking about biometrics and DNA. In other words, digitized and fractionalized in the pilot programs already to take groups of people, digitize them, and kind of sprinkle their nature at, in various behavioral pools so people can invest in them. Neural patterns, this is a big thing. Brain data via Neuralink becomes tradable all of a sudden. Health metrics, this is a big one too. Wearable data feeds and AI prediction systems. Human behavior, rewarding compliance and punishing dissent. We talked about that just yesterday a little bit. Well, we see a comparison then between 1934 and today's reality, where in 1934 they talked about energy certificates as being the controlling mechanism for the society, for the economic activity. Today, it's rolled over on the digital tokenization aspect of everything. So in 1934, energy certificates replaced money. It didn't at that time, but that's what they wanted to do. And so now central bank digital currencies and tokenized assets are going to be replacing money. In 1934, track all production and consumption. That was part of their seven requirements that they wrote down at that time. Today, blockchain will track every human movement. Central 1934 vision, central accounting for every transaction. Now we have blacklisting programmable money. Know your customer rules at banks, so they know exactly who you are. And 1934, they had no private property activity at all. No private economic activity at all. Now, the extension goes into your body, not just industry itself, but also it's going into your body as well. So the 1934 blueprint is being fulfilled almost 100 years later, now with human biology included. This is really crazy, like I said, but this is exactly what they're thinking of doing. So the PayPal mafia that I referenced earlier, this was a tight-knit network of co-founders now in direct policy positions in Washington, D.C. They're functioning kind of like Howard Scott's. He's the founder of Technocracy from the 30s. They're functioning like Howard Scott's inner circle in the 30s. But at this time, with real power and real money, I might add, because I said they're all billionaires at this point. So you have Peter Thiel, for instance, Palantir founder, Funders Fund, kingmaker behind Vance and Trump in 2024, Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, Doge co-leader, Neuralink X, etc., David Sachs, AI and cryptocurrency czar, appointed by Trump to shape all tech policy in Washington, D.C., including this transhumanism nonsense. So we have, on the left of this slide now, we have life extension, then we have digital immortality, and then we have crypto policy going along with it. Okay? Bear with me. All of these PayPal co-founders or early associates, they all appear in the Epstein files as well. So we're going to dig in more to Epstein's connections to all these people, and might have another presentation later on in coming months. So this business of, we just have to talk about philosophy for just a second. Nick Land and Curtis Yarvin are the Yahoos, philosopher Yahoos, I call them, not to be convinced with Yahoo.com, but these are the people that came up with this idea of the dark enlightenment in the first place. We touched on a little bit yesterday, but I'll leave a further discussion alone right now. But their idea is to replace, at least in, with Nick Land's case, to replace democracy with technocratic governance, humans as optimization variables, not as citizens. Optimization variables. That just, I don't like the sound of that. Why, you're not an optimization variable in somebody's algorithm. Curtis Yarvin came along then, and he said, well, the government is going to be, as a corporation, we're going to have a CEO monarch ruling in the future. He said, get over being ruled by a dictator. So he's adopted 1930s ideology with a 21st century veneer. Now, this is the progression now. Thiel funds it. J.D. Vance was mentored in it. Musk implements it. There's a progression here. Both are on the players list, if you will, in Final Betrayal. So these were the people that were behind the philosophy that all these tech bros are, they're spitting it out to us now. So the fault line. There's a group of technocrats who don't go along with transhumanism. We should mention them at least. We've already talked about the transhumanist wing, Thiel, Musk, Altman, Ellison, Sachs, Land, Yarvin, et cetera. They all invest in life extension. Most of them will say they're techno-accelerationists. On the other side, we have people like Steve Bannon, who's publicly fought Musk over transhumanism. To his credit, not probably the only thing, but he did. Doug Wilson, some of you know who he is. He's a theobro, if you will, patriarch. He promotes theocracy. He's not for transhumanism at all. You have Secretary of Treasury and Commerce Bessent and Lutnick. They're involved with traditional finance, but they have no longevity ties whatsoever. So you see, there is some left and right version of these all these people. We said, as I said in the beginning, all technocrats are not necessarily transhumanists. All transhumanists, however, are all technocrats. Okay. So what is our, just to put this in the middle, the biblical response, of course, is, it's appointed unto men once to die, and that after this comes the judgment. We have to remember that all the way. So let's look at Genesis versus transhumanism. And we'll just make the distinctions now. We know what the truth is. I'm just reiterating it to you. God created man in his image, period. Transhumanist says man will create himself in his own image. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Transhumanist says death is just a disease to be cured. Scripture says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. To a transhumanist, the body is hardware that needs to be upgraded. The Bible tells us to be fruitful and multiply. Well, transhumanist wants to design babies with superior DNA. We saw that with Jeffrey Epstein. God is sovereign over life and death, according to the scripture. Transhumanism says technology gives us sovereignty. So point by point, transhumanism is a systematic inversion of scripture. That's the point. systematic inversion of Scripture on every single point. Tomorrow at church, I'm going to talk about the attack on creation itself. You see, this is a continuation of this. So what's really at stake? If humans are made in God's image and endowed with unalienable rights, they cannot be tokenized. But tokenization requires the mechanistic premise. That's what all the technocrats had in the first place, the mechanistic worldview, that humans are quantifiable, divisible, and tradable. It reduces the image of God to a data set. You see how dangerous this is, I hope. Transhumanism redesigns the body. Tokenization financializes it, and technocracy manages the whole process along the way. And together, they complete the vision of total management of the human existence. This is exactly what Harari was talking about in the first place, the total management of the human existence. This is transhumanism. This is technocracy. This is crazy, like I said. So we can probably just look at it this way. You know, this is the same lie in the Garden of Eden. The serpent said to the woman, "You will surely not die. No way." Genesis 3:4. And Hebrews wraps it up for us. Oh yeah, but guys, get a grip here. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, this is the judgment. So when we look at this whole thing of transhumanism, keeping it in the context of technocracy, it makes a lot of sense to them. I hope it makes a little sense to you as well. This thing needs to be fought tooth and nail wherever you encounter it. People in the public are catching on to this transhuman idea, and obviously it's like a religion at this point. People are adopting it as a religion. And, you know, they're saying, young people especially, who are throwing their hands up at this point on any activity of the government. They hate the government at this point because they feel it's abandoned them. The young people, especially in our country, are cozying up to the idea, well, we have to take this all into our own hands now. We're on our own. And whatever is going to come at this point, we need to throw out the government and embrace AI. We need to embrace technocracy. And along with that, for our future human existence, we need to embrace transhumanism as well. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? I'm not sure. I see blank stares. Raise your hand if you understand what I'm saying with this whole thing. Right? Okay, that's good. So let me just close with this. We live in a strange world. You know, the Bible is really clear that it is a strange world. This is the devil's world, for one thing. And, you know, the devil's very clever how he sets traps for people and groups of people. He's done it for decades or millennia. He knows what he's doing. We fall into it. The human race falls into it every single time, lock, stock, and barrel, it seems. Christians should not be in that group, however. We serve a risen Savior that is going to be the king of the earth and at some point, but he's the king of heaven right now. When he comes to earth, he will take total possession over the nations and the system of the world, and he'll reform it with his own presence. We see this in the future. For now, there's going to be trouble. Because these people want to do what's in their mind to do, and they're not asking you if you want to play along. This is the big problem. People are shocked when they see what this really means, but there was no consent form mailed out to you. I'm sure, I never got one. They never had a vote in Congress, even. There was no public discussion at all, especially just with technocracy and transhumanism itself. Nobody asked you if you were okay with that. So as Christians, we have to figure out, what are we going to do with this all this information? I'll give you an idea. I got 2 minutes left. I'll give you an idea. You have enough knowledge in your head now about the system of the world and how it's conspiring against the world itself. It's all anti-human stuff. You have the information now in your head to become ambassadors for Christ, to reach out to this fallen world and tell them about another kingdom that you know about, where the king lives. How can you relate to young people, especially today, who are falling for this cult nonsense? Well, they speak another language at this point. You can't reach them with normal, Jesus loves you sort of stuff. That might work. I'm not saying it won't, but you get my point. If you can't reach them with communication, with normal communication, it's like trying to witness to somebody from Swaziland or something. You don't speak their language. What are you going to say? Well, not much. So we have to figure out what our response is going to be to the world when we encounter people who've bought the line, if you will, the whole lie of this whole thing. This is a big task for the church, I think, at this point. I count most of you at this point, I know, are on board with what I'm saying. I would just hope that all of us could become ambassadors, if you will, for Christ. Because the world is going to go down the whirlpool at this point. When the separation, I talked about AI psychosis yesterday. When AI psychosis begins capturing most of the world, our availability or opportunity for witnessing is going to be severely limited at this point, because at that point people will not understand reality from a hole in the ground. Whew. I'm done, man. I tell you what. Thank you all.